don't know if you would remember, but this is the third consecutive Sunday in which we've heard something in the Gospels about children. And today, particularly, with the awareness that, of course, the Lord is saying something with this insistence in inviting us to think about children, today we see in the innocence of children an image of God's original plan. We all have had in some way the experience of the birth of a child, right? Whether as parents or family, friends, or even clergy, we all have had that joyful and very unique experience, or we all have experienced also the joy of a baptism. And we all love those experiences. There is something just very simple, but very human and beautiful and joyful about that. Why are those events so special? And certainly we all have different experiences, so we can all say a number of things, but perhaps we would agree in saying that when we're close to a newborn baby, or when we come to a baptism, we experience goodness, pure, simple goodness. At least for a moment, hopefully for a long time, but at least for a moment, we have just the experience of pure goodness. Yes, life in many ways is very complicated, but life is good. Life makes sense. There is something good about this world, and therefore, whether we're thinking about it or not, we're moved to experience hope in the life of a newborn baby or in a newly baptized child. We see a promise, the promise of life, the promise of happiness, the promise of something good. That promise is also a fragile promise, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes we react thinking, well, if you're not strong, you're not good, right? Fragile is not good. But actually, in this case, that fragile promise is a reminder of something very important about our human life. That our life is first and foremost about receiving. Even chronologically, we receive life and we're taken care of for a long time. Life is and should always be about being loved. And so the gospel, which is mostly about marriage and divorce, but also the first reading about the original plan of creation and community and love, but also the psalm, the beautiful dream of good family life. All of those wonderful words are reminders of that original plan of God, that dream, so to speak, in God's own heart. He wants us to experience love, to be loved and to love. He wants us to encounter good community. And we can see these things because, you know, at times we might be tempted to think when we come to church, well, those are just ideas, theories. I mean, we all have experienced that joy of a baby in some way. So we can understand this. It makes sense to us. But at the same time, we are aware that life, while being a beautiful promise, sometimes it's very challenging and very difficult. At times, life can be very unfair. At times, we really cannot encounter the love that we need. And why is that? Because of what Jesus said in today's gospel. Because of the hardness of our hearts. Because there is sin. We know very well that there are sometimes ideas or desires that cross our mind and our heart that are really bad. We're capable of doing bad things. And if we just think for a few seconds on some of those very bad things that we might have thought or desired or maybe even done, we might experience shame, and understandably so. We're ashamed. I mean, just imagine, not going to happen, but like everyone here knowing those thoughts or those desires and actions. How shameful. And here we have to listen with an open heart to one of the most astonishing things that I believe we find in Scripture that we heard in today's second reading. We might be ashamed, but this is what we heard. He, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brothers. The Lord is not ashamed to be our brother. And of course, Jesus Christ knows much better and a deeper and more clear way than we do our sins and the gravity of our sins, and yet he's not ashamed to be our brother. Actually, for Christ, things work in a different way. He comes closer to us with his mercy and love when we fall. That's why he became man, and that's why he constantly finds ways of coming into our lives. He wants to heal our hardened hearts. But for that to work, he needs our openness. And for that, he gave us today a necessary reminder, which is at the same time incredibly beautiful and moving, and also very fearful. That phrase that we've heard and read so many times, that hopefully today we will hear with true openness. And he said it with all solemnity, "Amen, I say to you." When he says that, okay, pay attention, because what he's going to say, it's really important. "Amen, I say to you, unless whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Very far from being some kind of sentimental, generic wish, this is about life or death. This is about entering God's kingdom or not. And what does that mean? Well, we need to pay attention. He did not say, whoever does not conquer the kingdom or whoever does not build the kingdom. He said, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God. And that word, the specific word he chose, actually means ready reception or warm reception. It is about knowing how to receive well, and that is an art. I'm sure we all have had, in some way or another, an experience like this. Someone coming to us and bringing a gift, something we were not expecting. Well, there's a number of interesting ways in which we can receive or maybe not receive well that gift. At times, we might think, probably we're not going to say it, but we might think, well, thank you, but that's not exactly what I wanted. I'm not going to say it, but oftentimes we do think that. Or maybe we will think, well, what do you really want? I mean, why are you giving me this? Again, we're not going to say it, but we might not necessarily trust with simplicity. Or perhaps we will say or think, well, it was about time, right? As if we deserve, as if we actually deserve a lot of things. The kingdom of God is a gift, and to receive a gift can be more challenging than at times we think, because it requires and it demands humility, true openness, simplicity, gratitude, and love. It is about being open to what is given to us, whether we were expecting that or not, but to what that is, but also to be open to what that means, to the intention, the love that is expressed through that present. It is about not being in control and choosing everything in our lives. It is about being like a little child. The kingdom is that gift. And the first necessary step to enter God's kingdom is to receive it well. It's to renounce our desire to control everything, even the terms in which God takes us to the kingdom. God has a way to take us there, and it is his way. It is not our way. Very frequently we complain because we don't think that we have the right conditions for following his path and entering the kingdom. We might think that if our life was maybe more like that other person's life, or if we had received this education or those blessings, or if we were like this or like that, it would be easier. But God has a way, and His way is always the best. Even if at times we might experience real difficulties and challenges in our lives, that happens. God does not want evil, but He can transform evil, even the most difficult situations, into the best ways for us to grow closer to Him. God, through joys and sorrows, takes us to His kingdom. He knows how. So hopefully, as we come together and listen to this word, we will be open, truly open to His love, truly open to the gift of being here, truly open to the gift of the sacrifice of the Mass, truly open to His way of taking us to His kingdom. Let us pray for the gift of simplicity and openness, so that as children, we can receive the gift of God's kingdom.